everybody okay outside, folks? Anybody hear anything?
Stormy.
I know it's stormy, but I mean, usually somebody says we got a problem. Is it? We don't got no problems. We're okay, sir.
Tornado.
We got a tornado. Oh, help me out. Is somebody in the hallway? Thank you, Matt. All right, y'all at peace now. Y'all. Are peace. Okay.
Yes, Jesus took,
took my burden, took them all away,
turned my night
of darkness
into
day, placed his arms around me,
lest I go astray, yes, he took,
Jesus took my burdens all away, and all away.
Jesus took my burdens all away. Turned my night of darkness into day.
Placed his arms around me,
lest I go astray.
Jesus took my burdens all away.
Every day's a new day since I found His love so true. Every moment spent in finding what He'd have me do.
What He did for me, my friend, the Lord can do for you. Jesus took my burdens all away.
Yes, Jesus took my burdens, took them all away.
Turned my night of darkness into day.
Placed his arms around me,
lest I go astray.
Yes, he took my burdens all away. Tornadoes too, amen.
That's good. Good singing. I like that. Matthew 26. Find that place in your Bible, Matthew 26. And good song tonight, young people. Thank you for that. Find Matthew 26, first gospel, first book in the New Testament. And just something on my heart tonight to share. First, look at it here, Matthew 26, and beginning down at verse number 26. Take you just a second to find it. Matthew 26, verse 26, in honor of God's book, let's stand together tonight. I'm reading. Would you please join me on verse 27 as we're reading 26, 27, and 28. Jesus is the Lord's Supper. The Bible says, verse 26, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And I want to speak tonight on this subject. In a pinch, give thanks. In a pinch, give thanks. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to have church. Pray that you'll keep everything safe with the weather outdoors. Thank you for watching over us these past several days through all these intense summer thunderstorms. Thank you for the water and rain you gave us this week. Now protect us tonight. Thank you for the privilege to have church. Help us to think carefully on this text and these thoughts in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. Now you read this text. Some of you are going to begin to look for the utensils that we use for the Lord's Supper. We have been in this text several times over the years for that occasion. But tonight we're going to think for a little bit on a very practical action that Jesus took at this most very sober and somber time. Now, we understand that He was desirous of eating with His disciples. He talked about that with desire. I have desired to eat with you. And so they had the meal. And then after the meal, He takes the bread, which is symbolic of His body, of course. And when He took the bread, the Bible says in verse number 26 that He blessed it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul said that he also gave thanks, okay? And then he broke it and he gave it to the disciples and they ate. And then immediately following that, in verse 27, he takes the cup and he gives thanks and then he gives it to them and says, this is the symbolic of my blood which is shed for the remission of sins. And we're not going to talk about this tonight, but just on a sidebar, thank God for the body of Jesus that bore our sins to the cross. Thank God for the blood of Jesus which takes away our sin. It's always good to be thankful for salvation. All right. But holding the bread and holding the cup, Jesus gave thanks. With the bread that represented the body He was about to give for our sins, with the cup that represented the blood that He was about to shed for our sins. The truth is, the bread and the cup, they represented the whole event that Christ was on the precipice of, folks. I'm talking about the arrest, the false trial, the betrayal, the false accusations, the slapping, the beating, the ripping of the beard off of the face, the crown of thorns, the laughter, the scorn, the mockery, the scourging, the ridicule, the cross, the separation from His Father. He's on the precipice of all that. And He gives thanks. On the precipice of it. Now, it would be interesting to note exactly what Christ gave thanks for. You know, Christ gave thanks for this, or Christ gave thanks for that. But we're not told. We're not told. Just that He gave thanks. We could speculate. You know, maybe it's just the simple act of saying thank you for this bread and thank you for this juice, which Jesus was very thankful anytime there was food involved. Feeding of the 5,000, He thanked God. So that's why it's good for you to practice that in your home. If you're not already, before you eat, sure, stop and give Christ thanks, okay? Maybe He was thanking God for the food. We could speculate that He gave thanks for the salvation that would soon be finished. Like we talked about a few weeks ago, no more sacrifices would ever have to be made for sin. We could speculate that He gave thanks to His Father for helping Him accomplish the primary purpose for His coming to earth. Not the miracles, not the healings, not the preaching, not the teaching, the primary purpose, I came to die. And He's about to die. So maybe He's giving God thanks for helping Him get to that point. We could speculate that He gave thanks because the serpent's head was about to be smashed. Ah, the great enemy of God was soon to be really dealt a blow through the death, burial, and resurrection. Maybe He's giving thanks for that. We could speculate that He gave thanks, as I said earlier, for the physical bread and the juice that they had for the supper. How many speculations can you come up with? But that's all they would be, folks. Opinions. Speculation. What did Christ give thanks for? Now, you know, instead of that, this is what I want us to notice tonight and focus on for a few minutes. This scene is on the precipice of the darkest hour of the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. He is about to pray, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but if not, nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. He will sweat in the garden, as it were, great drops of blood. We're talking about a heavy, 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 dark, dark, dark hour. Yet, in the hour of darkness, Jesus possesses the spirit of thanksgiving. For what? We're not told. We don't know. Which I think is great, because if there was a specific target for His thankfulness, then that's what we would look for in our lives. But what this says to us, folks, is absolutely clear. No matter how bad, no matter how dark, no matter how heavy the situation is that comes into our lives, it is possible, pardon me, to possess the spirit of thanksgiving and find something for which to be thankful. In a pinch, give thanks. When you get in a pinch, give thanks. This is what the Lord did. Three things tonight. We're done. Number one, Giving of thanks is commanded. I'm not telling you anything you haven't already heard or know. Giving of thanks is commanded. Psalm 100, verse number 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Psalm 50 and verse 14, offer unto God thanksgiving. It doesn't say, be thankful when all is well, be thankful when all is good, be thankful when everything is going right. It just says, be thankful. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks. Watch it, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So the will of God for me is when things are great, when things are not great, give thanks. The will of God for you, I'm not talking generically tonight. I'm not talking collectively as a church body. I'm talking about individually. At the heaviest, darkest, most sober hour of your life, when situations and circumstances crowd in on you, it is the will of God for you to give thanks. It's commanded. It's commanded. Do we care about God's will? Do you want to live in God's will? If we care about God's will, if we want to live in God's will, we get into a pinch, we're going to find something for which to be thankful. Find something in everything for which to give thanks. Here's an example of it right here. So the giving of thanks is commanded. Number two, a little bit longer on this point, the giving of thanks chokes out bitterness. It chokes out bitterness. Go in your Bible to the book of Daniel. Turn back several pages to the Old Testament. If you're getting familiar with your Bible, start turning to your left, and you'll go through some of the prophets, and you're going to find the book of Daniel there, okay? If you go to Ezekiel, you're a little bit too far. The book of Daniel, chapter 6. And I want to be just a little bit, I don't want to just gloss over this, because not everybody is familiar with the story of Daniel. We'll get to the verse in just a minute. Now, what's going on? Or if you don't know the story of Daniel, he is a captive Jew in the land of Babylon, which I forget how many hundreds of miles it is from his home. He has been taken from his as a teenage boy, we think. He's been taken from his family, or at least maybe 19 or in the early 20s. He's been taken from his family. He's been taken from his home. He's been taken from the temple. He's been taken from the school. And he's a captive, and he's been there now for several years when the king makes a decree. The king was tricked. He was tricked into signing a decree. What did the decree state? The decree stated that nobody in the kingdom could pray to any god other than him, Darius, the king. You can't pray to anybody but me. And if you do so, then you'll have death in the lion's den. That was the king's decree signed with his signet. Done. The laws of the Medes and Persians, sealed, signed, delivered. Daniel's habit as a Jewish boy was to pray three times a day. Open that window to the east, looked toward the east, toward Jerusalem, and looked that direction. Actually, that would have been to the west, but he opened up and looked toward Jerusalem, and he prayed three times a day, evening, morning, and at noon while I prayed, David said. So Daniel keeps praying, okay? Now, look, he's not doing anything bad. He's not doing anything that merited this kind of punishment. And by the way, folks, the whole decree was designed and written and targeted for Daniel. It was done out of jealousy. It was done out of envy. It was done out of hatred. It was done out of spite. Daniel had done nothing wrong. Nothing. Verse number 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. How did Daniel keep a bitter-free heart? He was thankful. Understand, folks, it wasn't just that he prayed, or that he prayed consistently. It's what he prayed consistently. He was consistent in his thanksgiving. He prayed and gave God thanks as he did aforetime. four times. It was Daniel's habit to be thankful as a captive in Babylon, away from his home, away from his family, with this kind of targeted jealousy and envy, he remained thankful. And because he remained thankful, because he found something in a pinch to give thanks for, it rooted out, it choked out the root of bitterness that was in his heart. You understand how bitter he could have been? This is unjust. This is unfair. And people, everybody in life, everybody in this room, from one side of the auditorium, front to back, upstairs, unjust, unfair situations and circumstances come into everybody's life. They are a part of the great big package of life. You're going to have them. Maybe you children have not experienced that yet. You've not experienced the unjust, unfair situations and circumstances, but you will. We said, Pastor, you're painting a dark cloud and painting a realistic cloud. They come in the great big package of life. And one of the devastating consequences is becoming bitter. People get bitter over unjust, unfair circumstances, situations that come into their lives. If you're not careful, bitterness will spring up. Folks, bitterness is rooted in us. Rooted in us. Jesus said, not Jesus, but in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 15, it talks about the root of bitterness springing up. And if it springs up, if it flourishes in our hearts and lives, it troubles us. And it defiles everybody around us. Spouses, children, friends have literally been defiled because of bitterness. Are you what throttles bitterness? Thanksgiving. How are you going to be bitter and thankful at the same time? How are you going to do that? It's impossible. You cannot be bitter and be thankful at the same time. So you look for a way to give thanks. And as you give thanks, that thanksgiving throttles the bitterness. The bitterness is in us. It's in the ground of our hearts. I don't know if you do this or not, but every summer I get into the Roundup mode. I like Roundup. Roundup kills. It just kills. It just wipes it out. I like Roundup. I got 2 acres out there, and so I fooled around for all these years with that little 2-gallon sprayer, and had to fill it up 3 or 4 times. So I finally got me one of those backpack 4-gallon sprayer things. Man, that is it, buddy. And I'm telling you, I am the weed man on the scene. Here we go. I got that handle out there. And you know what's amazing about Roundup? You go out there and you spray that Roundup on all this stuff, all those weeds, and they die. Then I walk back outside a few days later, the same ground that I just sprayed for those weeds that were existing that died. They're all dead, but guess what's springing up? Another weed. Back to the Roundup. I like Roundup. It's too expensive, but I like it. It kills the weeds. Same ground that was just sprayed for weeds maybe a few days, a week ago, now there's another weed. Thanksgiving is the Roundup in our lives that throttles and chokes out the bitterness that'll spring up through the unjust and unfair circumstances of life. My heart's been grieving for my dad. My dad will be here, Lord willing, on August the 11th. He'll leave the memory care center in Florida, go to the airport with my brother and my mother, fly up here, come from the airport to the memory care center here in town. One memory care center to the other. 148 pounds, skin and bones. Yeah, he worked all of his life to enjoy the latter years of his life with my mother. To travel and see his kids and his grandkids and now their great-grandkids. And that's gone. It's gone. Is it fair? It's life. Some of you are there with your parents. And not just that circumstance, but other circumstances, other events, other situations that come into your life that just, you know, if you really had to put a definition as to why, you couldn't define it other than by saying, this is life. And if you're not careful, that old root that's already there, you say, well, I'm saved, didn't take away the root of bitterness. It's in your heart. If you're not careful, that root springs up. The Bible says it springs up. That means it can happen in a what? Hurry. If you're not careful, it springs up. It troubles you, the Bible says, and many are defiled. Now think about that. Thanksgiving is the roundup of our lives that chokes out the weed of bitterness that springs up from the ground of our hearts. Let me tell you what I have witnessed. Maybe you've witnessed it too. Bitterness has caused divorce. Bitterness has caused divorce. I have watched couples. The problem at the beginning was not between the spouses. The problem was a difficult circumstance, a grievous situation that there was no explanation for, no reason for whatsoever, just a part of life. Just a part of life came into their marriage, their family. A difficult, grievous situation where there was no problem between husband and wife, but the bitterness sprang up and it eventually resulted in divorce. Bitterness. It troubles individuals and defiles many. Bitterness has caused mental and emotional breakdown. I have witnessed a loss of judgment, complete rash behavior, erratic thinking, all driven by a bitter spirit. Some unjust, unfair circumstance, situation that maybe you didn't have any control, maybe the person didn't have any control over, but it's a part of life. Things happen in our lives that just are unexplainable. They're a part of life. And folks, that root of bitterness, if you're not careful, it will just shoot up and begin to flourish. And you know what chokes it out? Thanksgiving. 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 I thought about Eric's grandfather this week. I thought about, you know, 83 years of age. I think he was 83. Goodness, what a way to die. With his wife standing right there digging a hole with a backhoe, and he's got a ladder. He's got to dig an 8-foot hole and going up and down the ladder to check on the depth of the hole up and down. And he goes down, and his wife's standing right there, and it collapses on him. He suffocates. And, boy, it's been crushing to the family. They were close. Even something like that, folks, make a person bitter. Make a person angry. And if that bitterness is not choked out through a spirit of thanksgiving, you know, just a spirit of thanksgiving is what it takes when we have some difficult or grievous circumstance that takes place in our lives. We better look for something that we can be thankful for. In a pinch, give thanks. It's like treating the ground of our hearts with Roundup. It chokes out the potentially devastating weeds of bitterness. The spirit of thanksgiving. I've learned a little bit, I don't know, just spending some time with Mom down there in Florida before, or as we were putting Dad in the facility down there. I knew a bunch about Dad with General Motors, but I've learned even more about him. I learned even more about how much pressure was put on him when he had the responsibility of, of taking these vendors out and these accounts with General Motors. And some of you understand what's all there's big money involved in those things, and they have to feed them and take care of them. And boy, the pressure that was put on him to go to the taverns and the nightclubs and the gentlemen's clubs, which is a far cry from a gentleman's club. The pressure that was put on my dad. Over, and he resisted. He never compromised. And I've given thanks for that. I've just given thanks. God, thank you for a dad who didn't cave in. And by the way, said, "Well, that would be easy to do." Don't speak so quickly. Giving of thanks is commanded. Giving of thanks chokes out the bitterness. Folks, the bitterness, it will choke it out. Number three, giving of thanks is the result of being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now, this is what I preached about this morning in the greatest rivalry. Ephesians 5:18, well-known verse about being filled with the Spirit, not being filled with alcohol or wine. Be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That means being under His control. That means controlled by Him. That means in the rivalry between Spirit and flesh, I have yielded to the Holy Ghost, asked Him to control me, asked Him to control my actions, my thoughts, my desires. And the Bible says in verse number 20, after verse number 18 is 19, and then comes 20, and here's one of the results of being controlled by the Holy Ghost. And listen to these words: giving thanks always for all things. Really? Really? Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ? Whoa! Always for all things. Are all things pleasant? No. Are all things good? No. Are all things fair? Are all things enjoyable? No. So some things in life are unpleasant and they're bad and they're unfair and they're unenjoyable, and we're supposed to give thanks always? You know, there are times when you and I easily see what could have been, and we're thankful. You get into an accident, fender bender or worse. You walk away from an accident where I was with Brother Lassiter down there in Arlington, Texas. He showed me a picture of his truck the day after Christmas last year. He and his son were going deer hunting on a lease outside of Dallas. And it rained hard and they hit a slick spot. And they rolled their truck four times. And they walked away. You come out of that. Maybe you've got a broken bone or a little cut or something. And you look at the vehicle and you can see what could have been. And you're able to be what? Thankful. Wow. Yeah, I'm bruised up, I'm banged up, but when you look at what could have been, wow. I remember the most terrifying phone call, ministry related, that I ever got in 27 years here, plus the 10 years in Iowa. That's 37 years. The most terrifying phone call I ever got was on a Sunday morning in that office right back there when the phone rang. And for some reason, I picked it up, and it was Brother Dave Niemeyer. And he said, "Pastor, just want you to know, there's been an accident with the bus. I'm pulling up to it right now, and I think you said the bus is on its side. I think." He said, "I'll let you know more in just a minute." Click. I was sick to my stomach. I don't even know. I taught Sunday school. I was teaching the couples class in room 208 back in those days, and I taught Sunday school. I don't remember what I said. I knew there was 18 people on the bus. I didn't know what in the world. He said, "The police are here. Ambulances are coming." Thought, oh, my goodness. So I taught Sunday school. Came in here and had church. If you remember, there was a couple of people in the very back, and I think they were from the Daily Journal or somewhere in the area, and I said, "Folks, we've had a bus accident, but I don't know the details. I'll make no comments on the bus accident." They didn't stay for church. They left. After church, I jumped in my vehicle, went down to the Iroquois County Memorial Hospital there in Watseka, where they had taken the 18 people in the ambulances, and found out that Tracy and Kara were injured the worst. I think Tracy had a broken collarbone, and Kara had a concussion, I think, if I remember right. The 16 others walked away. There are no seatbelts on the bus. Bus goes over, back up, over, by, whatever it did, I don't know. Thrown around like BBs. And I felt bad for Tracy and I felt bad for Kara, and that was scary. But I got back in my car that day, driving back to the church here, back to Bourbonnais, and I thought about what could have been. I thought, wow. And it was easy to say what? Thank you, Lord. Easy to see. But folks, sometimes we can't see what could have been. I don't know the future. You don't know the future. There's nobody that knows the beginning from the end from the beginning but God. We don't know. But there's someone inside of us who knows all. His name is the Holy Ghost. He's not some third rung on the ladder of the Godhead, this inferior part of God that we possess. It's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. These three are one. The Godhead lives in our bodies. And the Godhead is able to see the end from the beginning. So when these unfair and unenjoyable and unpleasant and unjust circumstances and these grievous dark hours come into our lives, you know, the Holy Spirit is there. He sees what could have been. We may never know, but if I am under His control, He can help me and He can help you be thankful always for all things. In a pinch. Give thanks. Now, what you're thinking? Maybe you're not thinking this, but tempted to think, yeah, you know, that's not. Folks, you have no idea how quickly the root of bitterness can spring up and flourish in your life. Got to find, in a pinch, you got to give thanks. For there's something, you've heard the thing. I've said it ad nauseum about Matthew Henry. I read it years ago. It made such an impression. One of those things that I don't do this often. One of those things you read once and it's in your mind. For me, that's rare. Seriously. But he was robbed. He went back to his room and he wrote four things that he was thankful for. I'll be fortunate if I remember them. He was thankful because it was the first time he was robbed. He was thankful that even though they got his money, they didn't take his life. He was thankful that even though they got his money, it wasn't much. And I thought this was the coolest one of them all. He was thankful that it was he who was robbed, not he who was robbing. Boy, that's a lot of insight, isn't it? Lord, if I've got to be involved in a robbery, I'm thankful that I was on the robbed side, not the robbing side. Be careful about bitterness. Folks, look, it's not the situation. It's not the circumstance, it's not the event that will kill you. The bitterness will. It'll kill you. In a pinch, give thanks. I told you about Louise Blaylock. You know, Jim and I just were, I wish I could, you know, explain to you. Some of you folks know, going through Bible college, you kind of just have you got a lot of friends, but you kind of got a couple of people that you just locked in with, and that was Jim and I. And I stood up in his wedding. Joyce and I stood up in their wedding, and they stood up in our wedding 3 weeks apart. I believe it was 3 weeks apart back in 1979. And our bus routes were side by side, so we spent a lot of time going to and from Chicago together. We worked together, thrall car, drove together, worked on the same jig. Friends. Now his wife has this aggressive glioblastoma. Brain cancer. You read about glioblastoma, it's terrible. It's like tentacles. It's spread deep into your brain. And they recommend surgery, but they can never get it all. Because it's all just... I read the other day, 15% of the people who get aggressive glioblastoma survive. Nationwide. 15%. And that's what she's got. 58 years of age. You know, kids are married, grandkids. That time in life where husband and wife just kind of enter into that really enjoying each other. And they put her in hospice this week. And I got a text from Jim on Friday. We both had a long, long cry yesterday as we looked at each other and just expressed our love. Hard times. And I forget, my wife was going grocery shopping, I think, and I was working on replacing an attic ladder. And she was leaving. I was brushing my teeth, I think, before I went to work on the attic ladder. And just, you know, we just read that text together, and I looked at her, and with a choked voice, I said, "I love you." She said, "I love you." I don't want to wait till you're in a hospital room. Somebody's got stage four cancer to start saying, "I love yous." That's going on in his life right now. You know what he preached on this morning? There's always a reason to be thankful. That's what he preached on this morning. There's always a reason to be thankful. And on the precipice of going through the darkest hour of his earthly ministry, all of it, Jesus gives thanks. Wow. That's amazing. Sometimes it's not those deep doctrinal matters that jump off the page at us. It's those little bitty actions of Jesus that speak volumes. He was our example, our pattern to follow. Folks, if you find yourself in a pinch, give thanks. Give thanks. You ask the Holy Spirit to show you. Ask Him to fill you, control you. Ask Him to show you, giving thanks always for all things. In a pinch, give thanks. Father in heaven, I pray that You'll help us to take this simple message tonight. Very practical and I hope helpful to our hearts. It's helpful to my heart. I needed that thought. I needed that thought, God. And I pray that You'll help us to practice it, Lord. And in those moments of seem unjust and unfair, certainly it was unjust and unfair for Jesus to bear our sins in His own body to the cross and shed His blood for our sin. In those moments, God, please help us to find reason to give thanks. There's always a reason to be thankful. So I pray for Brother Jim tonight. I pray that You touch him and help him, oh God. Bless his family. I pray for Louise and be with her. I pray, God, for the people of this church, Lord, who are in a pinch right now. Lord, maybe there's a person here tonight who's been through a tough circumstance last year, several years ago. And Lord, that old root of bitterness is flourishing pretty good. They're troubled. I pray that God, through the roundup of thanksgiving, they would find the cure for that bitterness tonight. In the example of Jesus, may we find ourselves in it, when we find ourselves in a pinch, give thanks. Speak to our hearts tonight as only You can. I pray in Christ's name. Let's stand together, heads bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies are playing a song of invitation. You obey the Lord tonight. Do as God says.